Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. In two of our texts today, you hear the story of the calling of preachers, specifically of Simon Peter and then also of Elisha, the prophet. You hear clearly of their old way of life, whether it being a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee or whether working with oxen and so forth in farming. You see that put behind them as they seek a new way of life, being fishers of men. That this fishing that Jesus talks about takes place through the proclamation of God's word, the chief duty of men called to such a station of life. That in this way, the text teach you about pastors and what is expected of them when God calls them into the preaching office. The substance of their preaching, either in the Old Testament or New Testament or even now, hasn't changed. They are to preach the salvation of God that comes to man through the work of Christ Jesus the Lord. Old Testament preachers in expectation of Christ promised to come. New Testament preachers in testimony of God being faithful to his promise and sending Christ to redeem the world and indeed doing it. The effect of this is that even for non-preachers, even for all the hearers of the church, that upon hearing this good news of Christ Jesus, things change. The news of the sacrifice of Jesus for the earning of your redemption, and then that redemption being freely given to you by his grace, that because of what Christ Jesus has done for you, your life is renewed, it is changed. That forgiveness now reigns where guilt once ruled. That you are clean before God, where sin would have you shamed and unclean. That where sinners had plotted rebellion against their Creator, now saints train themselves in righteousness, waiting for the coming of their Lord and the ushering in of all eternity. It is good then today that you find yourselves both able and willing to be around the preaching of the word. That some may not be here today due to their lack of ability, suffering from sickness or physical inability, and for that we find mercy. Others, however, will miss for other reasons. That God has so ordained the preaching of the word to sustain you in your most holy faith in Jesus. And there is never, then, a shortage of excuses cooked up by the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh to miss out on the hearing of the word. And for that, many will suffer and be lost forever, having given earthly matters higher priority than attending to the word of the Lord, the means of grace, and the commands and the promises of God about these very things of life. And this is the wonder that is taught in our gospel lesson today. That God indeed has ordained work since creation. Work is a good and a glorious thing. That Adam was given by God the command to take care of the Garden of Eden, to nurture and to care for it, as it then would provide for his household. That work was good, and that work was also a good work. And then the fall into sin made work into what we know it more of today, a sweat-ridden toil among thorns and thistles in a fallen world. There was another thing that was ordained or instituted before the fall into sin as well. It was the attending to the Word of God. That God had given the example of the Sabbath day to teach that a man's work needed to stop in order that God could then work on man. That God had spoken his promises about things in the garden to give man something to trust in, to believe in. and thus something then to ultimately worship God through. And each had its time, and each had its priority, work and worship. Now, sin has made a mess out of things. As I said, work is now often toil. The tasks given to you at hand can be burdensome, and the conduct of the people you work with can become temptations to ungodliness. Work is bemoaned and avoided by the lazy. It can become a false trust for the industrious. It can so possess a man's mind that he can think of nothing else. It can become an idol, robbing spouses of their God-given marital joy and support, families of their time for nurture and admonition in the fear of the Lord, and even it can become an excuse for spiritual neglect. That work, like every other good gift from God, can become an idol in the hands of the sinful nature. Peter and his crew had fished all night and caught nothing. This then resulted in the rather toilful morning washing out of the nets. Tired after an unproductive night of work, and still with more to do, Peter had every excuse to let Jesus just pass on by, to make an excuse for not wanting to use his boat, or even to let down then the nets to the deep. That everyone looking on would have understood, except for Jesus, that he was there, and the crowds of people had pressed in on him to hear the word of God. The crowd had its priorities right. And so did Peter. So at the Lord's bidding, they put out the boat for Jesus to preach. No excuses, just faith in Jesus and the proper respect for the word of God being preached, that work could wait, that the Lord had gathered hearers to hear the word. That St. Luke doesn't even go through teaching us or telling us what was taught that morning. It doesn't say. We just know that the preaching was demanded of Jesus, pressed in upon him, and that Peter was willing to let his boat be used for such preaching, and then we know the fruit of that preaching. That Peter, even as he's tired, even as they had toiled all night, even as there was more work to do, was willing to put out further into the deep and let down his nets based upon the word and promise of Jesus. That Jesus' teaching had changed Peter's view of the work. That cleaned nets would once again become dirty, and Peter would look like a fool fishing in the midday out in the deep. But Christ had spoken, and Peter then listened and trusted in his word. Now, given every excuse not to be here today, you were able and you are here today. You may certainly be tired. You may certainly have all sorts of things yet to do for your day. Peter did also. But instead, the word of God needed your attention, or to put it better, your attention needed the word of God. And the result of you hearing the word of God this day, may God grant it to you by his Spirit, is that you may be like Peter, with greater trust in Jesus, even in matters of work and toil. Peter puts out the nets. There's too many fish. The nets begin to break, but they don't. The other boat comes, there's lots of fish, the boats begin to sink, but they don't. There's every excuse to be fearful. And Peter seizes upon one, that this miraculous catch of fish is proof of Jesus not just being master, as he called him, but now being the Lord. That is, Jesus is true God. That Peter is in the midst of God, and that is a fearful thing, especially for a sinner. That Peter speaks, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." That nets about to break and lose all the fish, boats about to sink and lose all the fish and then maybe more. And now a sinner in the presence of a holy God. That fear of having enough, fear of perhaps losing life, or fear of getting what you deserve for all your sins. All three are right there in that situation. But in answer to those fears, Jesus is God. And what kind of God is He? The nets nearly break, but they don't. The boats nearly sink, but they don't. The sinner confesses his sinfulness, that he deserves punishment, but he doesn't get it. Jesus does not punish, but he proclaims to him, "Do not be afraid." It's an absolution of sorts, that Peter is afraid of his own sins in the presence of Jesus, and Jesus then is the one who will take his sins and cast them into the depths of the sea, so to speak, to never be caught again. That he forgives sins, that's the kind of God he is, and it's his proper work. He is a Savior God. Those sins which made Peter afraid before the revelation of Jesus being God right there in front of him, those very sins were ones that Jesus would take care of at the end of his earthly ministry by being crucified for them. What kind of God is Jesus? A forgiving God. And he doesn't stop with saving Peter. This is why then he calls Peter and the others to become fishers of men, the apostles, given authority to preach the word of Christ to all creation, that others would hear the word of God and have their sins taken away and their lives renewed by the work of God's Spirit. That this God, Jesus, is a God who desires that salvation would come to all. That his work of redemption would be proclaimed unto all the earth, and that hearers from all around would gather to hear the word of the Lord and to gain spiritual life from it. Your sins, often shown in your work, are your own fears, often showing up amongst the various work that God has given you to do, of not having enough. Fears over the loss of life, or maybe the loss of your lifestyle. And then there are those sins which make you fear God's wrath and His punishment. Those are like Peter's sins. They too have been taken away by Jesus. Do not be afraid that you have been given preachers to teach you this. And this teaching then brings you hope because of the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting has been earned by Jesus and freely given to you. And that you are given to speak of that hope that is within you to those who see your life and scratch their heads and wonder why. Why is your life so different than the rest of the world? Even and especially in the case of your daily work, that you have a hope that is unlike any hope of this world, because it's an eternal hope, because Christ has taken away your sins. That hope is sustained by regularly hearing the Word of God and walking away from here changed a bit by that same Word of God. That the work God has given to you in each station of your life, whether it is in your home, amongst your family, and so forth, whether it is in the state, as a citizen, and so forth, or whether it is at a hearer in the part of the church, that is good work to be done in accordance with God's commandments. And that goes for employment as well, which grows out of the estate of the home. That work is now done unto the Lord, as St. Paul tells us, not unto the paycheck, not unto a good or bad boss, not unto toil, not in vain. But the work that God gives you to do has goodness, because He has commanded it for the sake of your neighbor. And that work, it is meant to be set aside to hear the word of God, not just each week, but each day. Each work day, each vacation day, even retired days, that they would be made holy by the word of God and by prayer. And that because God's word has been active, your work in each estate, each station of your life would be different and indeed be a blessing from God and also make you blessed by God. One last thing. This text shows that indeed, all work is good, but that there is a work that lasts into eternity. The ability to provide fish to feed others was good, but God had chosen something different for Peter. Peter would be used by God to catch people in the gospel, people who are now to this very day in heaven for all eternity. Even as we heard Peter's words in the epistle lesson today, that our earthly labors have something of eternity in them, but there are things given to us in our varied stations of life that last into eternity. Think of that. Sinners who are mortal can do things that stand the test of eternity. Things more enduring than the songs of poets or the great deeds of the world's greatest heroes. Let every Christian father, every Christian mother, every Christian teacher and preacher, let every true laborer in the church think of that. How sublime and how exalted human labor can be. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Join in singing the offertory.